Exodus chapter 8, verse 23, and chapter 9, verse 4. This is the reading of God's word. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. Chapter 9, verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, how we love your word. Because it tells us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Oh, Father, let us love him more. And let us live for him. Cause our faith to grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us, our heavenly reality. Oh, Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and your people will hear and they will obey and give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, let us joyfully hear your word. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read you once again, chapter 8, verse 23. God says, I will put a division between my people and your people. Here, obviously, means Egyptians, but ultimately, it is the people who belong to this world. And this is the spiritual reality that we must recognize. That God has put a division, a distinction between his people and the people who belong to this world. God's people are set apart from the rest of this world. And the Exodus story is exactly about that. Our salvation is exactly about that. The Israelites are being set apart from Egypt, thus from the rest of this world. And God is putting a division, a distinction between the two. But, as you know, it was a typological division, only valid during the Old Testament time. It was a typological division pointing to the true division, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's sermon will be a topical sermon. It's about this division, God's division. What kind of division is it? And what is its purpose? These are some of the questions that we would like to answer today. First of all, as we have seen, and this has to be very, very clear, the Israelites are not being set apart from the rest of the world because they are better than the rest of the world. And it is the same for us Christians today. We are not being set apart from this world because we are better, nor that we deserve it and the rest of the world do not deserve it. Nobody deserves it. We are set apart in and through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our distinction and he is our division. God has put Jesus Christ between his people and the people of this sinful world. And this division of God has clear purpose. Just like anything that God does, it has clear purpose. There is a definite purpose in God setting us apart from this world. And you and I, we must witness that purpose as we live our lives. We must demonstrate that indeed God has set us apart from this world. Anybody, when they see us, how we live, what we say, well, they cannot hear or see what we think, but if they could do that, by what they see, they must see that indeed we are set apart from the rest of the world. And that is what our lives are all about. I mean, we could say many ways what our lives are all about, but one way is to show that we are indeed set apart from this world. And what is the purpose of this division? Again, we could answer this in so many ways, as you know. But we will say for today that the purpose of God's division is for the people who are set apart to be just like Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. He sets us apart so that we may be like Christ. And how are we to demonstrate this division that God has put between us and the world? By living the very life of Jesus Christ. That is how. If you want to know how, you read about Christ and follow. Jesus, when he was walking around in this earth, he himself was that division. Clearly show that he is holy. He is set apart. Set apart from the rest of the world. And by living the very life of Jesus Christ, we also show that division that God has put between us and the world. By participating in his holy life of suffering and his holy life of joy unspeakable. And those two are always together in Christianity and only in Christianity. Because in the world, suffering and joy, they do not go together. Nobody take these two words and put in one context. Only in Christianity we could do that. Joy in suffering. We witness the division of God by living the life of Jesus Christ, by living that heavenly life that Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. All of our sufferings in this world because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, some Christians say, well, you talk about sufferings a lot, but what sufferings? And I say, go out and start letting everybody know that you are truly Christian and you live by certain standards and certain ways, then you will know that suffering. I guarantee it. Yeah, go start letting your non-Christian friends know that you live a certain way. There's no way that there's line that you're not going to cross. And tell them about what are sins that goes on in this world. And see what happens. It's when you go to your business, your company, your school, and nobody knows that you're a Christian, of course there will be no suffering. They might think you're one of their own. And by how they live and how they talk and what they're interested in, many Christians, the world will see them as their own. Because there is no difference. But the fact is that God has put a division. There is difference. And it's not that you have to show that difference in order for you to be different or be saved. No, we're not talking about that. What we're saying is that God has already put a division between you and the world, and now is your joyful opportunity to show that division that God has put between you and the world. That's the joy of Christian life. All of our sufferings in this world because of our faith in Jesus Christ, all the persecutions that we receive because of our faith, all the difficult times we face in our lives, all of these are not strange things that are happening in our lives. All of these witness the very division that God has put between us and the world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, but resist him, meaning Satan, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So these Christian sufferings are common to all Christians. But why suffering? And we talked about this a lot. But simply put, why suffering? Because that was the characteristic of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are invited to live that very life. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 20, Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. But remember the word that I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Let's look at Jesus' life. You know, there's too much to read, so let me just read you a few places. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The Messiah is born. Messiah. But as you could see, it is a very humble beginning. He is wrapped in clothes and he is laid in a manger because there is no room for him in the inn. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yet he is born not at a palace, but in a manger among the animals. Why? Why couldn't Jesus be born in the biggest palace in the world as a prince of certain powerful king? Why not? That answer is coming. Let me read you some other passage. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I call my son.'" The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he flees. He runs. Well, his father isn't doing the running, but he runs. Do you see it? From the very beginning, his life is full of danger and suffering. And he didn't do anything yet. He's just a baby. He didn't do anything. And yet, the world already hates him. The worldly king wants to kill him. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? His life was, from the very beginning, a life of an alien, a life of a sojourner, a stranger in this world. And that is the life of the Israelites in the wilderness as they come out of Egypt. A life of sojourning to the promised land. And that is our life. A life of sojourning to our eternal home. The world will never like or love this life. I will guarantee it. The worldly people who say, "Oh, I like Christianity," they say that because they do not understand what Christianity really says. Why though? Why this life? Why can't he be born in a palace With all the great things of the world, he grows up with everything anybody can wish for. And he goes to a best, received best education. I mean, just have everything in the world. Then he dies on the cross. Why not? Why this kind of life? Because to show that this world is not his kingdom. That this world is not his home. He deliberately lived in such a way that no one will make a mistake thinking that he belongs to this world. He refuses any glory from this world. You know, people who misunderstood him, they tried to make him king. He ran. He fled. Do you understand what he's doing? Witnessing that this world is not everything. This world is not his kingdom. And brothers and sisters in Christ, what if the purpose of your life is the same? To show the world that I don't belong here. This is not my home. This is not my kingdom. Deliberately live in such a way that this world has nothing to do with me. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray you understand this. So you deliberately refuses worldly gain. Deliberately refuses. To the world, this is foolish man. And Jesus was a foolish man to the world. Even among us, if one chooses to live like that, some other of us will say he's foolish. Even at this church. Even at this church, if someone is successful worldly, some other person will think it's a good thing and envy it. If that is our purpose. Jesus. I mean, for any other Christians, who cannot say for sure, but Jesus, he is deliberately doing it. He didn't have to. Our country is an eternal country. It is a heavenly one. And we are traveling to that country. And here in this world, there is no permanent rest for us. There is no permanent home for us. No matter where we go in this world, it is for us a foreign land.
whole world is foreign to us. Because it's not our home.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come, the heavenly one. And this is our spiritual reality. Even as we build and even as we buy earthly homes in this world, we continue to be sojourners. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Just like one song says. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. You know, God is not ashamed to be called these people's God. Why? Because they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. The sinful world hates Jesus Christ even before he does anything. The world hates him just because who he is. And the same is true for you and for me. The world hates us just because who we are, just because what we believe, just because what we stand for. Jesus Christ, our holy and righteous God, his mere presence itself testifies to the sinful condition of this world. Holy God, just by walking around, he shines his glory to this dark, sinful world that everywhere he goes, the sinful condition is revealed. So you get closer to him. People will see how filthy you are. Thus, they don't want to come near to him. And they hate him. But you and I, by God's grace, we don't mind being revealed as filthy sinner. We even confess it. We say so. So we come near to him. That's why non-Christian, why they are still non-Christian? Because they do not repent of their sins. They will not admit their sins. They hate their sins being revealed. That's why. You think I'm making this up? Bible actually says this. John chapter 3 verse 19 and 20. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's why what marks a Christian? He or she is someone who repents, meaning admits his sin. And it's not just like, you know, okay, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and I guess we're okay. Not that way. Truly confesses, truly admits how filthy we are. Non-Christian will never do that. Oh, they will say, I'm not perfect. But what did ever I do to deserve eternal hell? I'm not that bad. And they act like they're very humble. You know, I'm not that good, but I'm not that bad.
And there's so-called Christians who does that. They think they're better than other sinners. Ooh, they're better. Or like Paul, true Christians say, I am the chief sinner, the filthiest one. So there's difference. You cannot hide these differences because God has put a division.
Jesus' mere presence itself testifies to the sinfulness condition of this world, and our presence must do the same. Just by how you live, you will show the ways of the world to be sinful. But the world will not take it that way. The world will look at your life and say, foolish. But to God, we are showing their ways to be sinful. Do you understand the purpose of your life? Do you walk around in this world showing the worldly ways are sinful? And you will never do that. Why? You will never live like that. Because you're Christian. Well, at least sometimes. Few times. Our purpose and our desires are different from those of the world. We, by witnessing the reality of heaven, witness that this world is not eternal, that this world is not everything. The world lives for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. The world lives for the wealth and the power of this world. But we witness through our lives that those are not that important. When they see how we live, worldly wealth, worldly power are not that important, at least to us. It's not that important. And that's how you live. To witness that this world is not your home. We're just traveling through. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in numbers than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all people." Meaning that the Israelites were nobody in this world when God chose them. Nobody. The smallest country. Very insignificant country. God chooses. But that is just like Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 2 to 3. "For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." Jesus was nobody. Yeah, we make movies out of him and all that, but it's a false message. People did not like him unless God gave you a new heart and new eyes to see
truly who he is, oh, then Christians liked him. But the world, no way. Why would they kill him if they did not, I mean, they loved him? It's like no appearance that we should be attracted to him. See, we're automatically attracted to attractive people. But Jesus, no. And you people who think you're pretty ugly, be happy. Jesus was pretty ugly too. He was not handsome like the fake photo or fake picture that you see on the wall. You know, I often wonder, who is that guy? I know that that's not Jesus. Who is that guy? Yeah, I'll be upset if I come home and my wife is with loving eyes, look at that guy. Who is that guy? If he is Jesus, I will not mind, but I know he's not Jesus. I'll be upset. And we are the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So if you're a Christian, chances are, and I don't want to use that chance, but probably, you're nobody in this world. That's why God chose you. Thank God I'm nobody. I want to be nobody. Is it your desire that next generation will remember your name? No, I don't want anybody to remember my name. Okay, maybe my wife. But even then, after I die, I'm not her husband anymore, so no big deal. As God's people who are set apart from this world, we are participating in the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the demonstration of the division of our God that he has put between us and the world. And of course, the world will not recognize it as such, but who cares? You and I pray, we will recognize. The other nations hated Israelites and came and invaded them and destroyed them numerous times. All that is to reflect the life of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we live the very same life. The Israelites came out of Egypt to go to the land of Canaan. But we see in Matthew, Jesus comes out of Canaan to go to Egypt for safety. What is the Bible showing us? See, in the Old Testament, they come out of Egypt to go to land of Canaan, the promised land. But here, Jesus in the New Testament, he actually comes out of the promised land and go back to Egypt for safety. God is showing us that the whole world is now Egypt for us. There is no promised land in this world. Do you see it? If the promised land, the land of Canaan, is the promised land, then why would Jesus come out from it and flee? Jesus clearly shows us in his Bible that the whole world is Egypt for you and for me. and we have to get out of Egypt. Meaning we have to get out of this world.
Thus, in Jesus Christ, no matter where we go in this world is Egypt, and we come out of that world, and we are headed for heaven. And the life we live here on earth is the life of sojourner. In this world, we live as aliens and strangers. How can we not expect sufferings in this world? Jesus Christ, is he not the king? Why then is he fleeing? He certainly has the power to destroy everyone and everything, and yet he lives a life of suffering and persecutions and ultimately the death on the cross. Why? To witness that this world is not his kingdom. And we must do the same. Oh, brothers and sisters, with the pride of heaven, we must witness through our lives that this world is not our home. We are just passing through. We must look all things in heavenly perspective now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, therefore from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things has come. Brothers and sisters, there is another world. There is a new creation. There is new life. There is new world. And the new life with our God in the new world has been accomplished. And brothers and sisters, see it with your faith through the Word of God. Our lives will always have sufferings. God says if you live godly, you will be persecuted. God's promise to you. These sufferings will be with us, especially the spiritual sufferings, until we go to heaven. But we must see all things with our eyes of faith. Our ultimate purpose is not living well and eating well in this world. That is not our purpose. Like I said before, our purpose is to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And our sufferings in Jesus Christ, they are the proof of God's division that he has put between us and the world. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And remember, all things work together for our own good, and our own good in that context is what? You go home and read it carefully. Our own good in that context, Romans 8, is being just like our Lord Jesus Christ. To conform to his image. And James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Without suffering, you lack so much. Oh, now Pastor Kim is talking nonsense. What do you mean? With all this wealth, I have so much. Bible says, with all that wealth, you have nothing. You must understand. Because when Jesus returns, you will see clearly you have nothing. Then, you will see it. You might not see it today. And I hope you could see it even today. But if not today, you will see it when he returns. How absolutely nothing you have. Without Christ,
there is nothing. Oh, brothers and sisters, especially you young people, I pray God would just somehow, by His grace, engrave these words in your heart that you will never forget. That you will be different than my generation. That you at least be better Christian than my generation Christians. You must carry this tradition through. Otherwise, humanly speaking, this tradition is in danger of extinction. Whatever happens in our lives, remember God's grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The power of Jesus is revealed in our weaknesses. For Christ's sake, we are being put to death all day long. Rejoice, my brothers and sisters, rejoice even as you face the most unbearable sufferings, knowing that God has set you apart from this world. Demonstrate with joy that this world is not everything, that for us there is another world. All our sufferings will end soon. Look at Jesus Christ right now with your faith in heaven. His sufferings are completely over. Look at our brothers and sisters who are in heaven. Their sufferings are completely over. And we will join them. And we will join our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Just endure. Just a little bit. And you young people, you think you have so long life ahead of you. Ask your parents how fast it goes. Oh, it's so fast. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. For who regards you as a superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us, apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death. Look at how Paul says, how God is using the apostles. God has exhibited us, apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Or maybe you young people, let us make t-shirts. Scums of the world. I am not joking. You must understand that that's who we are. Why would world, anybody in the world, want to live this kind of life? We want to because we know there is a better place, that there is heaven. that what we do here, the life we live here, is just temporary, very fast going, temporary. I know you guys are hot. I'm hot too. Aren't we very glad that we're not going to hell? You know how it's going to be? How hot it's going to be? And it's not just for 1 hour or 2 hours. Forever.
Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in heaven, earthen. Let me start again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus Christ so that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our body. And one more verse and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have put a division, a distinction between the world and us. Oh, Father, with joyful hearts, let us witness that division. Let us show to the whole world that we are truly different. We don't belong here. We are citizens of God's kingdom. Bless us that we may witness that reality to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.